Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and this week's episode will be the last time you hear my buttery voice as Jeremy and Ashley recorded their own episode this week while I was on vacation. Hope you enjoy. There's a couple little audio hiccups here and there, but you know what? I thought they did a hell of a job. But if I could use this time also to remind you, drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. Helps us out, costs you nothing at all, and means the world to us. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for Motel Hell.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Okay, you look very, very ladylike, unlike pretty much every other episode, so.
That's totally true. That is so true, because I know that, like, the audience isn't gonna see me, and it's just you boys, and since nobody in this group wants to fuck me, why should I try?
That's not true. I try to fuck everybody except it, I don't want to go to hell. So.
Oh, we're going there anyways. Who are we kidding?
Right, what? Exactly. Like I'm helping things at all. I know why Eric puts at least 3 to 4 hours working every fucking episode.
Damn. I mean, he does a good job. Like, I'm not going to say he doesn't. I'm going to miss him on this episode, but I've been waiting for us. It's like this is our baby moon before our big giant pale baby comes back from vacation.
Well, the format's gonna be a little different today, that's for sure. So
he's been holding us back the whole time.
Yes, it's him. It's all his fault. So the one who does the most work for every fucking episode. So. Wait till his insane brother gets to take the reins.
So. Oh, I thought you were talking about the poster for the movie, and I was like, I should have known this movie was going to be interesting.
Oh, hell yeah. Really, really predates Texas Chainsaw Massacre by years.
Right? It's very interesting, and I know we'll get into this, but it is interesting to kind of feel, like, even though I'd never really heard of this movie, it's interesting to think about how much influence I feel like this movie probably had on other horror projects.
Right.
So it's just kind of surprising.
There's a big shadoo, if I can get here. I couldn't miss this since probably one of the biggest composers died like a week or two ago. I had to give a little sum to him, if I can push the right buttons here. I can't talk. I have to freaking set this shit up. But this was going to be our own special quality time, if you can hear it, hopefully. Here it comes. Our own special quality time. Come on, fucker. And... Quality time. Quality time.
Wait, I'm hearing something.
Quality time. Quality time.
Quiet. Yeah, I can hear. I couldn't hear it for a second. Like, did you put a cat in a blender? Like, what is this?
I almost want to run that back just to make sure. I got the timing right either way, if it sounds good or not. Okay. Yeah, that's a Foreigner, Ennio Morricone.
So, oh, okay.
But obviously he probably did the greatest films of all time, like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Right.
My favorite would be Once Upon a Time in America. America, yes, one drink. that was, of course, Sergio Leone's last film when he died in the mid-80s. And I think the original was something like 5 hours long or something.
Oh, my God.
But also, a really good soundtrack to me, it was my second favorite, has to be The Thing.
Oh, my God, yes.
So classic horror. Horror, come on. Let's. I can see if I can prime this up. You can't hear shit.
Oh yeah. I just.
It's horribly quiet. But yeah, for the really old folks. The Grease Man used this as part of his music for his stories back in the 80s. He did this to the toe monster.
So, oh, okay.
And the toe monster liked to eat toes, and he would talk to the toe, the Grease Man under his bed. So
this makes me very hot. I'm like, Grease Man, toes. I'm like,
somehow people seem to work their fetishes into their comedy bits. I don't know why. So,
it's like, yeah, I don't get it either. I have to tell you, watching the men in this movie hit on women, I was like, man, this is so gross. I think I'd rather be hit on by Jeremy and Eric every weekend.
The finest in misogyny in movies, with men walking into women while they're bathing and taking their clothes off after they're dead. Yeah, so fine.
You're looking for excitement. You know where to find me. I'm like, ugh. Oh, no.
How long, maybe it was obvious to you, how long did you figure out before Tarantino had the biggest foot fetish in movies?
Probably I found out today.
Really? You didn't figure that out? Because no. I didn't figure it out until somebody said something about it. And then it's like the biggest slap in the fucking face. Like, from day one with, what's the fucking movie?
Pulp.
Not Pulp Fiction. It's before that with I want to say Bordello of Blood. It's actually something. The vampire movie with him and Clooney.
Oh, before Dawn? What? No.
It was after Pulp.
Yeah, Dust Till Dawn. Dust
Till Dawn. Yeah. Actually sucking on Selma Hayek's toes and drinking.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, is that
obvious? Okay.
And it's like, did Tarantino actually asked to have that happen in the movie?
Probably.
But anyway, so I definitely wanted part of this to be my Morricone send up.
And, I like that.
Another one here. Please stop. There you go. All right. Is Deborah's theme from Once Upon a Time in America, and I'll just play this while we're talking some more. Since you can't hear squat.
I'm ready for studio days again, man. I'm ready for studio days.
Eric or I, we've got to figure out how to get the feed through back through through Zoom. I don't know.
We'll figure it out. I mean, who knows? I'm kind of hoping things are going to let up here soon and we can get back to, like, in-studio stuff, but who knows?
Maybe we'll actually test this out, like professionals. And what a great name for a movie. The movie that turns hello into hell.
But there's a part of me, and I know we'll get into it, though. There's a part of me, though, that thinks, how much, though, does the idea of motel really play into this movie? I mean, it does. But I'm like, couldn't we have also called it, I don't know, like Highway Hell?
Highway to Hell. Well, you know, if they changed the movie to something different, then it would be a movie about prostitution called Motel Ho. So,
which I starred in.
Hotel Hell, I guess. So,
Oh, yeah.
And the T-E-L gets blown out instead, so.
Oh, yeah. That was probably my first major role was Motel Ho.
I just completely destroyed that joke, and I'm ashamed now, so, because.
Oh, it's okay.
I tried to deliver.
Yeah.
And it was aborted. Don't. So.
Oh. Don't worry about it.
Aborted joke.
Don't worry about it. Let's just fuck this whole thing up and then hand it to Eric like a broken toy and be like, you're gonna edit this, right?
Hand it to him like Master Blaster, saying, you fix, you smart, you make funny now. We're idiots. So
he's just like so annoyed. He's like, I'm on vacation, and we're like, we know you're not doing that much.
You're like Eric, like Jeremy, you used the N-word in this episode more than you ever have before. And you think you're supposed to get away with that.
That would be really funny if we just tell him we like ruined the episode. He's like, oh, we did all this stuff. Have fun. And it's not even in there.
I let you guys take the reins. And what do? You fuck it up. You fuck it up like never before.
Well, I love that he said to me, he's like, I don't know which of you I'm supposed to trust with this. And I said, oh, give it to Jeremy. And he's like, are you sure? And I was like, I'm lazy and I forget things and I usually get
he's
get
like, what could,
with
what
cock,
could happen?
So.
We could lose our entire fan base and
yeah,
and have the cops at our door. So
yeah, I'm like, let Jeremy handle it.
Let's get back to a little bit of actual what do we call it format. Is there anything you'd like to share with us about maybe your drunkenness or something that happened that you'd like to share for the week?
It's just been wild. So I took a day off on Wednesday. Cause like my mental health was tanking, shocker. And
you're just a woman.
I'm just bleeding all over the place, and I'm like, I have feelings. Help me.
What level of crazy are you this week? So.
Well, so get this. So then I'm trying to enjoy my weekend. I made it through the weekend. I was like, I'm gonna be functional. I'm gonna be normal. Everything's gonna be fine. Then I get a family group message. Yes. That says, someone took a DNA test. Turns out your aunt isn't really your aunt.
Awesome.
And I'm like, wait, what? So it turns out grandma got her swerve on in World War II.
Wow.
So
that long ago.
Yeah. So a soldier
was out fighting and somebody got the milkman at home.
Yeah, so Farmer Vincent paid my grandma a visit, and nice. He smoked her meats. So, yep.
Did everybody think that the aunt didn't really look part of the family to begin with?
No, she does.
She fit
but
in
she,
like an apple.
Yeah, she's an asshole like the rest of them. And so apparently she did one of those like 23andMe tests, and like grandpa's name wasn't on it.
Nice.
So that became a thing. So all weekend we've been dealing with the ramifications of like which one of these kids doesn't belong.
Nice.
So that's been fun. Jeremy, what about you? I feel like you've got some interesting things going on.
Well, not really this week. It's just working and sleeping, but to add to your story, I've always been a little bit paranoid. It's like, you know, because there was no pictures of me when I was like newly born for like maybe like a week or so. And I was thinking, what if I really was adopted? and I look at my rest of my family is like, no, I'm an exact carbon copy of my grandfather Reber. And I have the exact same madness that my father has with both pornography and hoarding. And every once in a while, it's like, you know, I am as much of the madness of my dad. I can actually hear his voice in my head sometimes, which is like especially when my mom told me that she had given $60,000 to somebody online. And I was like, I literally heard my dad's voice in my head just like cursing her out. And I was like, I'm not going to say anything else to mom. Just
oh my god, why are families like this?
No, my sister really let into mom, which, you know, she definitely needed it, so
and is Amy your sister, you and Eric's sister?
Yeah, that's the quiet sister that's kind of mentally depressed and quiet. So
see, I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like maybe the Woodworth family should make some room for an Ashley.
Let me also, that's a possibility. You know, we're always, you know, we're not making enough kids lately. So, but, let me also tell you about my really weird my other really weird thing that I think about that I don't really obsess about, but it just kind of makes me feel weird. Is that you know how you don't check out your body enough, but you think to yourself, like, what if I really was born a hermaphrodite and they sewed up my vagina?
I don't think that often, but I'm going to consider it.
I don't think females have this problem if you don't have a penis. But if you have a penis and you feel your taint, and it's like, obviously when you were young, it was forming, but it chose genetically which way it was going to go. So that there is like,
right.
There is like a line down there. Just mm-hmm. like literally your body is like left and right. And when you're really fucked up, you literally have a twin that you're born into. And there's been people that... If you've ever seen people that have like a line going down their body and one side is one skin color and the other is left because they're literally twins in themselves.
This is like the biggest, blowing my mind.
It's the biggest fucking freak of nature that can fucking happen that probably only happens like once in a million. But when you see it, you're like, oh, wow, you're a fucking freak. You literally are two people in one. So,
I love those stories of the person that absorbs their own twin.
They're like,
let me show you. And you're like, oh my God, it's like a lump and it's like teeth in it and stuff. And I'm like, that's moist making.
Did you hear about the guy with a fucking face on the back of his head?
No.
He literally was a real freak back in the day. And they did like a version of him on American Horror Story with the one with Kathy Bates from Baltimore, of course, which I thought she did a fucking unbelievable job of speaking Baltimore.
I love her.
I almost thought that Kathy Bates was from Baltimore because of that episode. So, and did you hear who she modeled it after?
No,
that's right, our own Senator Barbara Mikulski.
Oh, how I miss being a Marylander.
Oh gosh, out of all the people you could choose, he could have chose Marty Bass. So, anyway, back to the story of the guy with the face on the back of his head. He literally said that fucker would talk at night when he was trying to sleep. It's like it wasn't even intelligent, but it would literally say like fucking the evil things. I'm thinking, that's a fucking demon head on your fucking back of your head. You can just fucking cut off like fucking Belial from Basket Case or something.
Right? The closest thing I can even like come to is the idea of you and Jeremy sharing a twin bed and sleeping back to back. And you just keep talking while Eric sleeps.
Yeah, no,
and you're like, hey, you know how I feel about black people? He's like, no. He's like, no, I just want to sleep. Yeah, I'm now having this permanent image though now in my head of just you and Jeremy back to back like Bert and Ernie,
just us conjoined twins, you know.
Just back to back, and like Eric's like 3 a.m. Eric's sleeping, and you're like, have you ever thought about the fact that you could have been a hermaphrodite? And Eric's like, I'm gonna go get the shotgun and just.
So yes, I do believe in three sexes. So you know, the male, female,
I am two spirit,
and the man or the chick that has a dick or a vagina. So yeah, chickswithdicks.com. Yes. So wait, that was
important. it links to my OnlyFans.
why is Randall looking up these sites? So. All right. That's all I got. That's all I got for.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to jump in. I'm ready to get serious about Motel Hell.
Monday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums. Ready to race to you.
You're the Florence Nightingale. To my Helen Keller, and I'm just like, tell me, Jeremy, what is it? And you're like, wah, wah.
Just feel my face, feel my mouth, you know. I'm like your Anne Frank, so you know. You know that, deaf and dumb chick. So yeah. Sorry, that's another Clerks 2 joke. Sorry, just in case.
Anne Frank. Oh shit, that's good.
I have no material. It's all stolen from somewhere.
That's okay. They're not coming after us for the rights. I think we're fine.
Fucking Frank Marshall from Happy Days knocks on my door one day. I think you owe me $100.
Yeah, you actually got that right. That's pretty good. Hey, you nailed an impression, Jeremy.
I'm Frank Marshall. You might know my sister, Penny Marshall.
Oh, I know. Made ourselves sad.
Yes, we have Motel Hell from 1980. Classic horror film that predates Texas Chainsaw 2, but bites off Texas Chainsaw 1. Starring Rory? What kind of name is Rory? Rory Calhoun. I think it was going on like 60, 70 when this came out. And our favorite actress, Nancy Parsons. do you remember Nancy Parsons' name from another famous movie?
I don't.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's also from 1981-82.
Is it a movie you're pretty sure I've seen?
No, because you're young.
No.
But it's probably one of the dirtiest movies from the 80s.
Famous. It's not Deep Throat, is it?
No, that's 70s, but definitely dirty.
You said dirty, and I'm like, ugh. No.
I'm talking about movie theater dirty that a lot of people saw. That would be Porky's.
Oh, that was actually my second guess when you said movie theater dirty. Because yes. I was like,
Yes, movie that most people saw. Unlike Last American Virgin, which is a canon film remade from an Israeli version. So,
canon films, man. Every time.
Did you see the documentary?
No. You guys, I feel like talking to you guys gives me a list every week of things. I'm like, what is this? Need to check out.
It's called Electric Boogaloo.
Canon
film story, and they're two Jewish gentlemen from Israel who made movies and made some of the most amazing movies and some of the most shitty movies. So,
okay, so I have heard of that. I do remember hearing about Electric. So it's called Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, which was their biggest film. Mm-hmm. So, but right. These producers, they start making movies, and kind of smart, kind of geniuses, also kind of morons. Because they decided to make like another Indiana Jones film. So they're like, why don't you get this Stone Woman? We get Stone Woman for a movie. So, of course, they had seen the movie Romancing the Stone. And had they not been morons, they would ask to have Catherine Turner? Catherine Turner? Something Turner. Tina Turner. Tina Turner. So... So what they meant to say is Tina Turner from the Romancing the Stone. So they're like, that's Stone Woman. But no, Sharon Stone is making her way into the movie. So like they get Sharon Stone instead. So she gets cast. And the guy's like, I told you we want that Stone Woman. It's like, yeah, we got Sharon Stone. It's like, no, Stone from the Romancing the Stone. Like, you fucking idiots.
Oh God.
Talk about Nancy Parsons, otherwise known as Miss Ballbricker from Porky's. And also had a nice little... Oh, God. Oh, clear my throat. Ah. Star Trek Vengeance Factor, where she played some alien that was supposed to be killed by some chick that was like 400 years old and was genetically made to kill people. So it was a good
interesting
episode. Star Trek Next Generation, of course. I shouldn't just say Star Trek, so...
You're right. How dare you?
Yeah.
So. It's a very interesting start to a film because at first, like the beginning credits and everything, the buildup is pretty standard, I would say. Like, okay, it's a little creepy. You got the neon. Like, yeah, this is very standard creepy. But that motorcycle accident, can we talk about just how just balls to the wall shitty that was?
Oh, he ran into that tree really fucking hard and obviously died on impact. So.
And well, he just kind of like jumps off of it even. He hits it and then he's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be dead. And just falls over. And I was like, what has Jeremy picked for us this weekend?
Yeah, but that's the story. The fact is that he's in the garden, obviously, later. So.
Right. Absolutely. But I was pretty excited. I was like, just watching that, I was like, okay, we're in for a treat. This movie.
Okay, so the movie starts off with Vincent going with a shotgun to shoot a biker's tire out and his sweet fucking 40s red truck. Vince feels sorry for this sweet little girl that he sees that was with the biker and decides to take her home. And maybe insert audio here. when Ida Smith, we see singing in her kitchen, making breakfast for him. What was your first impression of Ida Smith?
So two things. First of all, when I find out her name's Ida, I was like, okay, but what's her full name? Like, Ida Ware something else? Like, Jesus, it was so ugly. I'm pretty sure Eric has the same moo-moo.
I finally realized after all these years that Nancy Parsons is literally the transsexual version of Sam Kinison, so.
Oh, my God! You are not wrong. That is a pretty accurate description. She's so out of nowhere weird. Like, if she's supposed to be his sister.
Yes.
Okay. So she's supposed to be his sister, but I'm like, they look nothing alike. She looks like a
skinny and she's fat and ugly. So
yeah, it's like a children's nursery rhyme. It makes no sense. And at first I thought she was his wife, because that's not like immediately clear, right, like who she is right at the start of the movie. I'm like, oh, he's got a big bitch at home and he's brought home a child for them to raise who's in her late 20s.
Well, and then I'm like, when you guys are into like the cannibalistic food business, it's hard to like have other family. So
that is fair. I definitely think she's been eating all the smoked meats from the nice figure she's got going there.
And you figure with the Atkins diet, it should be the opposite. You know, just all the time.
It's not Atkins anymore. It's keto. Yeah, so.
I can't let this joke go to waste. That in any second she's just going to start going, ah! You live in the desert. Why don't you move to where the food is? Ah!
You actually do a good one of those too. Today's your impression day. You're just nailing these.
I have to mention when I found out that Rory Calhoun is almost like the king of cult films. We were going to do The Night of the Lepus with the guys until the COVID fucked up our lives.
Right.
He's also in Motel Hell, but also Frogtown. Hell Comes to Frogtown with Rowdy Roddy McDowell. And I didn't look this one up, but I'm pretty sure he's also in Battle Beyond the Stars as a cowboy with a spaceship.
Okay.
All those movies, real, real big cult films. Obviously, I don't know if you ever saw Hell Comes to Frogtown.
I haven't, but I recently heard of it, I think, from another conversation I had with you guys.
And you know, when the title's called Hell Comes to Frogtown, the guy, Rowdy Roddy, of course, is named Hell. Hence, he's coming to Frogtown, so.
Jesus Christ, why?
Kind of like every Matt Damon movie, the name of Matt Damon's character has to be in the name of the movie, so, yeah.
That is so good. Anyway. I never thought of that.
Apparently, they mentioned Rory Calhoun on The Simpsons.
Oh.
Well, you know who it reminds me of?
Benji?
No.
Lassie?
No. A person, you know who I mean.
Snoop Doggy Dog? Bob Barker? David Brenner?
No. Yeah, the person who's always standing and walking.
Rory Calhoun?
That's it.
Rory Calhoun's name with Booster Burns. It's like 100 people if the Simpsons has like people that are over 60 watching the show.
But I love those, though. I love hidden gem jokes like that, where if you're the person, though, that gets it, you do feel like extra special because you're like, oh, I'm like one of the few people that has seen these garbage movies.
All the people that have actually seen Motel Hell is like, yes, Rory Calhoun.
High-fiving each other. Oh, man, they get us.
Vince drives away, and you first hear the ominous noise from the secret garden. Let's see, 8 minutes in the film, Vince starts selling his meats to his various customers that come to the hotel.
Bananas. That was tough to wrap my head around, because that is not a very pleasing looking motel. Not that any motel ever is. I've been in plenty. And I know, and trust me, I'm not going to motels for the atmosphere, you know, if we all know what I mean.
We all go to motels only just to make our meth, of course.
Yeah, like if I blow it up, at least it's not my property. But it's like not a for a motel. I'm like, this is so creepy. And here's the other reason I emphasize that. The couple that are there with their children do not look like the type of people that would be going to his motel. So it was a little bit like trying to put that one together. And then he gets out the meat box, where he's like, I have an assortment of meats for an agreeable price. And she's like, this is fantastic. I'm like, could you imagine going to like a Holiday Inn? And you're like, oh my God, you know where we're staying at this one? They've got a hickory farm set up just over there in the lobby. We're going to have a good time in Tulsa, but we're also going to pick up some meats and cheeses. It's just so weird. I had a hard time.
And I'm sure that anybody who's seen this movie, if you ever go to a hotel again, there's going to be meats there, and you think that it's going to be cannibalism. So,
only locally owned, no-name brand. Just if you, heads up, guys, if you're ever in certain parts of Maryland and you go to the Woodworth Inn.
Definitely cannibalism, so, yeah. But it's okay. The baby back ribs, they are made of actual babies, so. Yeah.
It did say and you baby can get dinner. Your picture. You can get your picture with Jeremy as Pogo.
So we insert audio clip here, maybe. You see the little twins that are dressed in identical outfits go to the slaughterhouse and start snooping around. And, of course, they are scared when pigs come out of the actual smoker, and Ida comes out of nowhere with an actual pig head on her head, scaring the twins to fucking death, which is awesome. So,
I also realized that the reason that couple had twins is because that mom is old as shit.
So they're adopted.
No, it's because her eggs, the older you get, the more likely you are to have twins.
Oh, you drop them like five at a time or something.
Exactly, because your body's doing going out of business sale.
Ah.
And the discounts are really good. So it's like 60% off, get two eggs. And it just, yeah.
Now, I didn't check the timeline on this. I assume this movie was after The Shining, and I almost thought that this was like a send-up to The Shining with the
same. Yeah, same. I thought that too.
It's like, oh, the Grady twins are scary? No. They don't have pig heads on them, so. They don't look like Sam Kinison as a woman, so.
But can we also talk about whenever they run to the car and the parents are like, oh, I don't know who this is. I've never seen them scared like this before.
This was like at the last hotel when they were actually molested by bikers.
And even then they didn't scream that much.
We didn't talk about it for like months. We finally figured it out why they were crying so much.
Oh my God, that is so funny. So I love that build up to that part. But then when Farmer Vincent's like, I know how to get them to calm down. And I was like, I don't think I'm drunk enough for this. Like, I think that's why Eric won't let me babysit his kids, because that's kind of my plan for for dealing with the kids. Just the girls are crying, and I'm like, I can make you behave.
You know, they were acting up, but after I scared the living shit out, they just curled up in fetal balls, and they were so docile. So we had a great night.
Look, they're cuddling together because they're afraid of me. How sweet.
I said that the carpet was actually lava filled with sharks, so they didn't want to get off the couch or move the rest of the night. I actually had to bring him a cup to pee in, so... Moving on, Vince drives his tractor to the secret garden, and we see him secretly go in there. He hasn't revealed anything yet. And then the movie moves on to bringing on our hero of the movie, who I like to call Officer Dorky. otherwise known as Vincent's brother, Bruce Smith.
Which I also... Can we also talk about this?
Yes. Of course.
Because how... Okay, so the officer is also the brother of Ida and Farmer Vincent?
Yes.
What?
But he ran away growing up, so he's not that close.
But you live in the same town.
Yes, but not in the same hotel, obviously. So
he's like, I'm sorry, I'm a days in, and you're your own thing. Like, we're not the same.
Well, you know, he does talk trash about his brother later on, saying that he can't get it up and everything.
Oh, that was one of my favorite parts, I'm not going to lie.
Because he is the ultimate cuck in a movie where he can't get the hot chick, so.
True. Very true.
So, the next scene we have the actress Nina Axelrod being playing Terry, waking up and finding out her biker friend is dead. But just so happened to be buried the same morning because he thought it'd be convenient, so.
I love that. I do love that she at least asked a legitimate question, because how often in horror movies do they not ask normal questions? But I love that, yeah, she's like, well, I want to see him. He's been buried. She's like, what? Who said you could bury him? Like, that's fine. Nah, I know you're not from around here, but we just figured we'd take care of it.
And I think that's probably why they even had the brother as a cop. Like, well, in these parts, you can bury somebody if you find them dead. You know, it's just one of those things. Well, you know, we don't actually have like a coroner or like check out things, dead bodies. We just bury them instantly. So.
Yeah, we just look at a body, even if he fell off a motorcycle, and we're like, well, it's COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, much like the movie Blowout, you know, if that senator just found dead in his limo, we just bury him instantly. We don't actually try an investigation, so. Who's this John Lithgow guy hanging around the coroner's office? We don't know. Just bury him. So we find out her man was, obviously, well, his character's name was Boris Kalinsky, but he comes back later. He comes back and saves the day. Almost! Just giving it away. Giving it away early.
They're like, I'm not listening to the rest of this episode.
So the best way to introduce our character is that they offer that she can stay there now that she's lost her ride to who God knows where. And she can stay with them and maybe like cook and clean, so. She's like,
so not normal.
What the fuck is going on? Why am I here? Why is my boyfriend dead? Why did I hear that gunshot before we fell off the bike? So,
but I love, yeah, I do love that it's like, no, I won't go home to anybody I know. I'll stay here with these freaky ass siblings in their weird motel with their meats. That makes sense.
I hate to say, she kind of looked a little too clean cut. If they had gotten like a trashier biker chick for the film, it might have been
right.
More believable. She's like, well, I guess this is where I'm staying. My beau's dead, so I'm gonna stay here a while. And she takes
and she
instantly takes her top off. So
no, you're totally right. Like if she had the backstory of like we're drifters, and now that he's gone, I have nothing to tie me to. But it looks like she's a pastor's daughter. And she's like, I'll do whatever you tell me to. You got the meats. I need the eats. I'll stay.
Guess we're not going to make it to that next fish concert. Damn, it was in the next state. Damn it. Sorry, I would have said the Grateful Dead, but I have to bring it up to modern times with fish. So
it was still funny, Alan.
But it's for me, it's all about fishbone, not fish. Bring on the lovely, lovely health inspector with his 70s car to help inspect the fine, fine meat products of Farmer Vincent. kind of looks like a uglier version of George Costanza from
Yes. Oh my God, that is a good description.
Or,
yes.
Or me if I let my hair grow out. So.
Oh, Jeremy.
So of course, Vincent creeps him out with his giant cleaver in hand and blood on his nice apron, and scares him away.
Which always makes me think of The Burbs, anything like that, whenever he, in the movie The Burbs with Tom Hanks, when he goes down to the basement and he meets him and he's got the red on his glove and he shakes his hand and he's got blood all over the front of him, but it's paint. And he's like, I like to paint. I find that it relaxes me.
I would compare it to Michael Keaton in Mr. Mom, where he comes out with a chainsaw to try to intimidate the guy who's getting onto his wife, so...
We have such a good variety of films in our mental databases.
Oh, I know a lot about Mr. Mom. Oh, yeah. Whoo.
Oh.
So, we introduce another talk with the girl and Farmer Vincent and his wife. And, of course, there has to be a really bad preacher on the TV.
Yes.
Introducing their wonderful, creepy religious side of them.
Right.
Which also, I think, was still kind of new for like the 70s and 80s, because the obviously creepiest religious person ever had to be Carrie's mom from the original Carrie.
Yes.
And everybody was like, I don't know. I could use another really creepy religious person in a film. I'm like, okay, these guys are going to be pretty fucking creepy, so.
Well, it turns out to be such a good selling point. Sorry, my cat's playing with my headphones. Go away. It turns out to be a really good selling point in so many movies. I mean, like, Children of the Corn, yes. You know, later, you just have all this religious stuff that just flows through the whole movie. And you see in a lot of Stephen King's, not all of his work, but a lot of his earlier stuff, you see that misuse and misunderstanding of religious context is like this great force, force for evil and terror, which is also even kind of an allegory and stuff for like the misdeeds of the Catholic Church, as far as like you claim you mean good, but actually all you perpetrate is evil.
Well, yeah. It's like, you know, we would never really drink blood, because we believe that it magically turns into Jesus' blood when it goes into our belly. So otherwise,
it doesn't make me a cannibal.
Flesh, so
exactly.
So it magically changes. So
transubstantiation.
Wow, I love you bringing out the big words. And you know, it's not scary if you really name any kid like a religious name. It's only when you name your kid one of the off prophets' names, like, oh, Malachi. Oh, where did you get the name Malachi from? Oh, I don't
gross.
Know, Ezekiel. Where did you get your name from, Ezekiel?
Yeah, no, I don't like. I've met a couple Jedediahs, and I'm like, why? Why would you? Even shortening it to Jed tells me you're going to play the banjo, you're going to wear overalls with no shirt, and you probably finger your sister.
Even Esau and Job thought those were kind of wacky names, so, you know.
Oh, agreed.
Never name your kid Esau, by the way. That's a really horrible name. So.
That is true.
Moving on. So... The lovely, lovely health inspector decides to return at night. And what does he come upon? The secret garden! Which I think probably this is what left the most indelible thing in my mind from when I was a child. I saw this literally at age 10, which is probably one of the most horrible movies you can see next to like A Clockwork Orange. It's like movies that start with rape and have more rape. It's like, oh, good. So, good job. My parents were great.
I can tell.
But I remember thinking back to this film, it's like, well, you know, some gardeners, they like to cover some plants because, you know, they protect them from either, like, rabbits or like, birds or something.
Frost.
Or just maybe to cover a human head.
So. That's what I do with my dates after I'm done with them. I put them in my garden and just put a bag over their head.
Say, you're done.
I'm like, I'll come back for you if I need you until you grow into a real boy, but right now, no.
So... I definitely have to insert the spot here where obviously Farmer Vincent gets him on the head and says, "Another spot check, Bob." So Bob is after that moment is part of the secret garden. So moving on to Vincent's fun times on the highway where he puts bear traps on the road. And then bring on the other star of the film from the band Ivan the Terrible and their terrible van as it goes down the road.
I realized that I think that this film is the Dukes of Hazzard for murder.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to hear this one. I'm gonna send it to you no matter what after the show. So if you can hear it, you can hear it. I'm gonna try. Because here's another character that we introduced during the film. Making your way in the van today, Ivan and the Terribles, trying to go to your next gig, and you are a drummer. Wouldn't you like to be buried up to your head? Maybe even somebody cut out your vocal cords, and then all your friends then they'll get killed. Maybe with some psychedelic lights. Times you wanna go to the secret garden, and once we get paid,
For a second, I thought that we were doing a repeat episode. of Independence Day with Firestein, which is like, allow me.
Yes, I mean, Firestein is in the secret garden, but he doesn't have to do anything with his voice, so...
And you pull the bag over, and he's like, "I should call my mother and my lawyer. Never get my lawyer."
And when everybody at the same time goes, they're actually saying Norm. So, yeah. I'm sorry. I think that was the number one reason for doing this movie was just that joke.
I think that's hilarious.
Oh, and of course, do you remember that song from Ivan the Terrible?
Yeah, it's real short. Crap. It's something.
Name of the song, I've Had Enough With You.
Yeah, I just keep, had enough with you, man. I had enough with you. And I was like, oh, okay, this is deep. Okay.
It's almost as good as a Tubes song, so. Or no, wait, should I say Patti Smith and Goodbye to You? Goodbye to You.
That's fair. Goodbye. But I do like Patti Smith, though.
Of course, the driver is driving, and of course he makes a mention of whatever drugs they're taking. This rent's too crazy. I gotta find a place to crash. And literally, they crash. They crash their van. So. Insert audio clip here. And of course, what is Vincent Gray does like the crazy Indian from No Country for Old Men with his gas. That he puts into the van to try to take them all out and put them to sleep for his garden. So
true. Yeah, you're right. You're actually right about that. I see that.
So sadly, you know, Vincent doesn't have like a special quarter where he asks people to call it during the film. So call it, you'll get some fresh meats of mine. So you were born into it. They have their fresh van. They're the whole back of the pickup filled with this band, which they drive to the Secret Garden. And as they're driving with Ida, he says, "I got a surprise for you." She gets so excited. "I love surprises."
I'm a little ashamed because I really understood her in that moment. And I was like, I'm kind of upset. I sound like that when I get excited about food. So,
hey, what kind of food? I mean, you know, it's going to be who's in the garden today, you know?
They're like, "I got you something ethnic this time." And I'm like, is it Indian?
And you notice none of the people in the garden were black, so.
That's true, because they know how to get away.
more than that, I don't think that black people, they know not to, like, go around where crazy white people are in the woods and in different parts of the country. It's like, I guess the realism is like, creepy white person fucking factor of 9. Like, no, keep the fuck away from here.
Yeah, it's like a sixth sense. They're like, nope, I feel weird. Inbred white people around. We're going to take the highway on this one. Like, no back roads.
Like, white people are dumb enough to drive through the wrong parts of Baltimore. Like, hey, let's roll the windows down and see if this guy in the corner is going to give us directions or kill us.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks fine. Oh, my goodness. He's just a young man. Sir. Sir.
The first thing when you see Rory Calhoun is like, is he, what does he look like when he wears his hood? So, you know. Has he burned a cross this week, or was it last week? So, get him between cross burnings. So, no, he's probably not a racist. He just wants to eat you. So, anyway, so.
No, it's his brother, the cop, that gets rid of the black people.
Yes. Who shoots them more. Okay, a little too soon. I'm not going to make that joke. No Floyd George Floyd joke.
Let's keep going.
No George Floyd joke. Because it's not funny. So, of course, Vincent goes up to the new fresh covered head and reveals Bob, the health inspector. And, of course, I have to drop a clip in here when she says, "Bob, when did you drop in?" So, and of course, the banter that they give between each other when it's like, like, this is what we're doing. Yeah, we're good people. So
bananas.
You know, which kind of beats, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, although Leatherface does make funny noises when he talks to himself or talks to Drayton Sawyer. But never liked the thoughtful things like, yeah, we're doing a good thing for the earth, you know?
Right.
We're cutting down on population and, you know, helping the earth, so.
Yeah, for them it's just like, I have a very diverse palate.
It's like nowhere would that little fucking Swedish girl be like, how dare you? Oh, no, go ahead and kill some people in a garden, so cut their heads off. So. And let's bring on the other star of this film is the tractor with the auger attachment to it.
So. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I remember seeing like, oh my gosh, what kind of technology is this? So anyway, the quote, all types of critters to make Farmer Vincent's fritters.
That type of rhyming is just soothes the soul. Finger licking good.
Yes. T-shirt quality. So,
I think that needs to be one of our first T-shirts for quality time.
Let's bring on the other thing that disturbed me the most part is when they're prepping the band in the holes, and they're about to take the scalpel to like the Charles Manson guy's throat. Yeah, scalpels to the throat because they have to cut their vocal cords out.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's true.
Which I thought was very disturbing. And they have to put the needles in their neck to make them anesthetize.
Yeah. It was really hard for me to follow, like, the whole process because I didn't fully understand, like, why they did it that way. I mean, it's cool and it's creepy. I struggled through much of the movie to understand what was happening.
Like, obviously, they have to keep these people on ice, but instead of putting them on ice, they keep them alive in a hole and cut their vocal cords out, which is it really doesn't make any sense at all. It's just a way to make the movie creepy.
Right, right.
But at the same time, they're like, oh, he's almost ready and everything. And I'm like, what, you have to starve people like when you have them in your well so that you fit your human body suit like Jamie Gunn or something, you know? Like, oh, she's been thinning away for like a week. She's definitely going to fit your skin's going to fit me now. So, right, precious? So.
That's kind of great. Put Ida, do a crossover with Ida and the girl from Silence of the Lambs. Be like, was she by any chance a big old fat lady?
Oh, by the way, she's still rotting in the tub downstairs. She's been there for a year now. Oh,
ooh, gravy.
Woo! And to think, and that's the scariest thing of Silence of the Lambs is, what does that room smell like? There's been a body rotting in a tub for how many weeks or months?
I have to ask you, was that anything like the hot tub incident Eric likes to talk to me about?
which one? Any hot tub incident for me?
Whatever one works. He told me the one time about how you had that nice hot tub incident with the nice kind of soup going on.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had an extremely bad time, and I was at a hotel, and it actually swirled into like a cake into the middle of the hot tub, where I would literally like scoop it up and try to like throw it out of the hot tub, not making as if I destroyed this like hotel's hot tub. I'm thinking like they must have gone back like with a videotape, like, who destroyed our hot tub? Why is our filter completely filled with human skin? Who do we need to bar? So
I'm telling you, Jeremy, we need to open our own hotel/amusement park, and there's a hot tub just filled with human skin, and it's part of the attraction. Hey, get in. Yeah.
Get in the hot tub with filled with human skin in it. So
it's a spa. That's one of the things. And then if you want to rejuvenate, we bury you in the dirt. We put a bag over your head for some me time.
After you get out of the spa, your body will be covered with human skin from another person. So great. You'll feel all itchy. So anyway. So we go to a nice, lovely picnic that they have out on a hill somewhere on their property of probably hundreds of acres. Who knows? And of course, the girl says like she's never tasted ham before. This, so as she's of course eating, you know, human meat, and probably just like Katy Perry. So, you know. Did you see the was it a fake meme that supposedly Katy Perry said that people should try human meat or something?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did hear about the fake meme. I did hear about that. If it was like Johnny Depp, I'd believe it. But Katy Perry, nah, that bitch ain't done anything cool ever.
You know, it's the Hollywood what's the word? Elitism is like, man, if I go to a Hollywood party and they actually have, like, you know, human meat there, am I going to eat it? I mean, I got to seem cool with all these other Hollywoods. Everybody's eating human meat.
Yes. So. Yeah, it's got tiers. You start with, like, panda meat, and you slowly work up from your favorite furry creatures. And then you're like, hey, do you remember that guy who played assistant number 3 in that shitty B-movie we did together? He's what's on the menu tonight. So
and then it goes to molesting children. So, you know, they're like, oh, you know, you're not going to tell on us because you're molested too. So anyway,
see, I always assumed it was more like society where like you open a door and there's a guy whose face is in someone's ass and you're just like, no.
Well, that's just like a normal Robert. Gosh, I can't remember his fucking name from Heart to Heart. The guy who killed Natalie Wood, so.
Oh, gee. Oh, Jesus. And then Walken just comes in the room with someone's face in his crotch. He's like, we're having a good time.
And I didn't.
That's my bad impression.
And my gaydar never really thought of Christopher Walken as a guy who has gay sex, but like, yeah, I can see it now. So, you know.
I can kind of see it. He's like, good for you, good for you. Like. Tom Segura tells a story about how his dad told him Tommy Lee Jones was gay, and he believed it for the longest time until he was at a party, and this guy goes, "He's not gay." He's like, "Oh yeah? How do you know?" And he's like, "His children are friends with my kids. Like, no, he's not gay." Like, and then he's like, "Oh, where did you hear that?" And he's like, "My dad." He's like, "Does your dad know Tommy?" "No, my dad just says shit."
My dad was the same way, and even once in a while I question some of the shit he says. But at the same time, you know who else had a wife and kids? That's right.
Lots of people.
John Wayne Gacy. Wife and kids. So.
Right, 100%. See, we think you're the psycho, but it's going to be Eric.
That's right, because I could not, my seed did not plant well, so.
Try jerking off into the ground. Come over to your house and you're like, "We're expecting triplets." Just pull the bag over. Oh, Eric, they're beautiful. Jeremy did such a good job. You're going to be such a good uncle, Eric.
I don't know why I never babysit, because they don't want to, so.
It makes sense. I always tell Eric I'll babysit, and he's like, I don't know.
Maybe if there's like video cameras on him all the time, then at least we'll have some evidence, you know, if he does something fucked up. So
he's like, "I don't trust my kids to not come home with a tattoo on their ass that says 'Jesus is coming, look busy.'"
All right, so back to the wonderful picnic where Farmer Vincent explains a story where Grandma wanted him to shush a dog. So, which of course he says he shushed and then fed dog meat to Grandma. So, and we have to go to the other clip here. Insert that says, "Meat's meat and man's gotta eat," as Grandma would say. And of course, Ida says, "You want to know why it tastes so good?" And Vincent gets scared and punches her in the gut. Yes!
Which was wild.
And the couple who aren't really into each other says, "I think we got to go somewhere. Let's go somewhere else from these old codgers. And on a lovely little lake, man-made lake on a boat."
So bananas.
Which, of course, he does his best move in saying, "Hey, let's go out on a date together. We can see the monster that challenged the world." Really horrible 50s movie that should never be in a drive-in in the 70s. So.
Right.
So, back to the garden and feeding. There's another scene where they insert the clip where it says, "Well, they appreciate us for what we're doing." Yeah, taking responsibility for the planet.
Makes no sense. Which, no sense at all.
But I don't think it was really obvious at the time. It's kind of making fun of environmentalists if they get, you know, to the cannibalism. So
I would agree. Yeah.
Or the Al Gore cookbook. So.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Human meat.
I love that, the Al Gore cookbook.
The end of the world and eating and cannibalism, so.
Gonna eat some man bear pig.
He just looks like his creepy man beard go crazy, so he looks like Ted Kaczynski, so. Oh gosh. Okay, so, they of course go to the drive-in, and of course, which isn't a drive-in, it's actually the fuck spot for the county, and the cop decides to hassle all the people that are fucking in their cars and telling them they have to get out of there in 2 minutes, and more gratuitous nudity on screen. So great scenes that I very much
always a fan
for when I was young. So
always a fan of them boobies.
And he not only has binoculars for her but also for himself to get the free movie on the drive-in.
What a gentleman.
Calling at the actual drive-in to send the audio through his CB radio.
Which is absolutely abuse of power.
Hell yeah. Officer Dorcas is all about fucking abuse of power. His brother is like eating people, so. So the next scene has Debbie and her friend with a gun in their sweet caddy being stopped on the road by fake wooden cows.
That's right.
And of course, one of them doesn't want to get out because they know something's probably wrong and they're probably going to get eaten by, you know. Oh, that's right. This is the one black person. The one black person. There was a black person. Damn it. I didn't look her up. I swear that she was one of the chicks that did like the double sex scene from Bachelor Party that was supposed to have the some sort of something show up, but instead they do a sex show in front of their girlfriend's party.
For the, oh, okay.
Which I think, and they one had a vibrator in her hand as they all scream. Yeah. So. It looks a hell of a lot like her. I didn't look her up, so don't quote me.
It probably no, you're good. It probably could be though. I would bet it was.
Did look a hell of a lot like her. It'd only be 4 years away between the two movies.
So. Yeah, and that makes more sense.
So of course Debbie or her friend gets out to try to move one of the cows, and of course is attacked by Vincent wearing a gas mask, which I also think is a send up to kind of the My Bloody Valentine.
That's a fair one too. I definitely would agree,
Mr. Gas Mask coal miner. So,
yeah.
So the next scene is Debbie and her friend being prepped with her vocal cords being cut again, like everybody is in the film. And then let's bring on the true stars of the film, the swinger couple. Yes,
favorite. I've been waiting. Just. I have so many little notes on them.
Notes.
So many.
So, of course, they. What did they hand Farmer Vincent? Did they have a brochure or something about what kind of hotel it was?
Yeah, you're right. They did hand him something. But one of my favorite parts, too, is before he even gets there, because obviously he's busy and no one was manning the hotel,
right.
The motel, yes. While they were busy. I love that the guy goes into the motel, takes an entire container of jerky and brings it back to the car. And he's like, I grew up on this stuff. It's fantastic. We should fuck here.
So he's kind of a local then.
It's a lot to unpack. Very
100 miles. So
yeah, very bizarre. So yeah, they inquire about the room, and then what's weird though is and confusing to me is the fact that they are swingers, but they look at Ida and they look at Vincent and they're like, okay, fine.
we'll be fine with your Sam Kinison wife. Yeah, she can join in too. So
I just it really undid me, if I'm being honest. And then so then we get them into the bedroom and they're prepping, and there was so much going on. Like, I laughed super hard when she asked him if he'd finally shaved this time, and he starts shaving his chest, and I was like, oh, well, the good thing is I don't have to ask Eric to do that, so that's good. But but no, it was just very, very bizarre. And then, like, the whip. Like, yes. She's just breaking everything in the room willy-nilly. Yeah. She's like, I'm so good with this. No, not really, but...
And who knows what kind of music they really wanted to put on that scene, whether it was, like, some sort of rockin', but instead they have the 1812 Overture with the...
Right! Well, and then, like you mentioned earlier, the pastor is on the TV in the background that we noticed before with the televangelist crap. Oh, it's not.
That's right, that's the Wolfman Jack! Yeah, that's right, I'm on the radio all through the 70s, that's right, I'm Wolfman Jack!
I'm too young for this. I'm too young for this.
the Wolfman Jack is the literal wizard from The Wizard of Oz at the end of American Graffiti, because Richard Dreyfuss finally meets him, and he's like, well, I'll tell the Wolfman if I see him. You know, he's just on a recording here. And as soon as he walks out of the room, he goes back on the blower. He's like, yeah, that was me with the Wolfman Jack. And he's like, oh, it was Wolfman Jack. Damn it.
I had no idea, and it's been a long time since I've seen American Graffiti.
Yeah, because Richard Dreyfuss had to try to find what's her name from Three's Company. So, Something Summers or something.
Suzanne Summers?
Suzanne Summers with her thing with her legs.
Oh, yeah. She had the Thigh Master.
The Thigh Master, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as the Vajay Stretcher. So,
which I definitely don't need. but I will say, so watch.
Joke here. So,
but I will say, so like, there's so much going on. It's like they're lubing up while this pastor is on the screen, and he's like wearing a PVC like see through skirt with stockings. And there's just so much. I've seen better. I feel like I've seen less disturbing things on Pornhub. Like, it was very, very upsetting. And then they come in, Vincent and Ida, and they're, like, all excited. And they're like, oh, we knew you guys were into us. Like, this is fantastic. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, oh, no. I don't want to watch this. and so then he starts to tie them up. And my first thought when I saw that is, as someone who gets hog tied regularly, I can tell you he's doing it wrong.
The only thing I could think that could have made this scene any better is if they had actually shelled out the money to get the actor to be actually Sonny Bono.
So. Oh, I thought that, you know what, that is so funny you say that, because it actually crossed my mind. Like, where at first I thought, I was like, is that? Oh no! Tell me that's not Sonny.
That's very much like Sonny Bono. Yes. So
I thought the same thing. I also love. So then he's like gonna give them laughing gas, and I love that she's like, "That doesn't smell like laughing gas."
She knows the smell.
I know. I'm thinking, okay, she's been through this plenty of times, but the truth is, like, no, it's not laughing gas. It's Ashley's blood farts. Love that shit. Like, that, if you ever ask me, like, oh, Ashley, like, I heard you're back in Narcotics Anonymous. What is it this time? And I'm like, bruh, it's laughing gas. When I used to live out in the middle of nowhere, we had a neighbor that, oh, so disturbing. It's all these country towns. We lived out in the middle of nowhere, and we had a neighbor that people used to call Doc.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and he would sit up in the woods in his backyard and chant like, hey, yeah, 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 hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he would inhale canisters and canisters of laughing gas.
Wow.
So what you would hear is him laughing, then vomiting, more laughing gas, more vomiting. Like, he would just, it was his hobby, man. He'd be up there and be like, I've been talking to the spirits, man. he was the worst neighbor I ever had, but it's one of my favorite.
Well, the question was stories. He an actual doctor?
No, he was not.
Okay, let me ask another question. Did he at least play with Prince at one time during his career?
So. I'm gonna bet not.
Okay, so he wasn't even a good keyboardist or synthesizer player, so.
I think in his head he was. I think in his head he was a lot of things.
Because, you know, if you're really good at synthesizer, you're allowed to be called Doctor of that as well. So.
Right. No, I'm pretty sure. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I had to yawn. I'm pretty sure he was probably selling these canisters or these hits from the laughing gas. And they're like, oh, man, he wrote me a prescription, man. They were calling him Doc. So, yeah, if you ever make it out to Keedysville, Maryland, you can visit the old place where Doc used to yak in his backyard. So,
all right, let me keep this moving. The best scenes from this have to be with the question, Edie, where's my jelly?
So gross.
And I have to say, for this scene, after saying let's get greasy, this is the couple that I want to see die the most in the.
Agree.
Please kill these people now, please.
Totally agree.
And of course, the little jokes like, you look good enough to eat before saying time me up. So,
of course.
Our next scene has Terry inspecting the slaughterhouse. And of course, she gets a little too looky, and Ida gets really angry with her. And is talking to her and tries to hide a foot that is kind of sticking up out of the in a garbage can full of of guts and filth.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they decide to go for a swim out in the fake. just her and Ida in her 1920s bathing suit. So,
and I love that she goes, I can't swim.
You know something was up, and gosh, her face is so fucking awesome in the scene where she goes to, like, I'm gonna kill you, as she brings the box cutter from under her bathing cap. So
crazy. I love that scene where she's like, this is such a good idea. I can't swim, but we should do this.
We have inner tubes. What could go wrong? Only if you have like a box cutter can anything go wrong. So, but I wonder, where the fuck do you buy 20s bathing suits anymore? So,
Hot Topic. All that vintage crap is in again.
And it has skulls all over it.
Yeah, it's like, am I hot? This is from 1920s. I'm ironic. My boyfriend has a handlebar mustache.
I want my skin as milky white as possible. No, never any bit of sun reaching this skin. So,
oh my God, I hate it.
Hey, you got to go swimming with a burka sometime. So, you know. Otherwise, you get stoned instantly. So. Anyway, so of course she fails in her box cutting abilities and box cutters her own inner tube and tries to kill her by overturning her and Vincent comes to the rescue and she's like, damn it, I was gonna kill your bitch. So the next scene has them in bed and Ida apologizes for maybe seeming like she was gonna kill her because she just fucked up. And Terry wants some instant sex from Vincent for saving her life.
So gross.
So we get another free titty scene, and of course Vincent is a good fine Christian man. Says no, only if we're married, which she takes as an instant proposal.
Disgusting. I'm sorry. Like I this is the part of the movie. This is the part of the movie I can't believe. I can believe people putting people in a garden and harvesting them for meat. I can believe cops using their authority wrong. I can believe just getting bored and killing the local neighbor kids. I can believe all of this. But what I cannot believe is this hot, hot young blonde chick with these rockin' tits is like, I want to be with Farmer Vincent. Like, no. No, she does not.
No, they set this up because obviously her biker friend Boris was much older and much more disgusting than Farmer Vincent. So,
I guess that's kind of true.
And probably didn't bathe as a normal biker would either. So, it's just
too depressing.
She doesn't look trashy. She doesn't look like your regular squeaky Fromm. You know,
if you would have reversed this and made Ida the one that they find, and Vincent is like, I think I'm in love with you, and Ida'd be like, okay!
You know what? I think as a director, they could have given her a do-lip. Could have given her a hair lip, you know? Because a hair lip
adds
to any character of any actor, like Joaquin Phoenix, otherwise, you know, Academy Award winner, so...
I do agree with that.
So, anyway, I hate to say one of my family members has a hair lip. So,
let me process of elimination.
By the way, a very, very great, great person. So, you know, but you know, yeah.
Oh, Eric, we miss you.
Eric does not have a hair lip. So,
I know. I'm just being snotty.
I'm sure anybody that has one, it's like the real fucking, you know, thing that you don't want to talk about. So. But with other people, go to town. Woohoo! Yeah. So, anyway, so of course, Farmer Vincent decides to go to the most important preacher he can find, the TV preacher, Wolfman yes. Jack, with his white suit, who's going to have a great wedding between him and this young chick that he almost killed on the road with a shotgun, and of course. Of course, Wolfman Jack finds Officer Dorky, otherwise known as Bruce, checking out some fresh pornography, which, yes, of course, he confiscates from Bruce, but also tells him that they're getting married, and Bruce throws a cuck fit like you would never see before, gonna go and shut down this marriage by going to the Farmer Vincent ranch and busting in while she's taking a bath.
I do love that scene, though, where he confiscates the magazine and is like, oh, Lord, and then he puts it in his bag for later.
Well, just showing that all religious people are total hypocrites and evil in film, so.
That's true.
But, you know, when your preacher really is named Wolfman, that really shouldn't, that should be like a determiner right there. Well, what about Preacher Wolfman?
Yeah, he's definitely the type to be like, before you get married, I need to sleep with her first.
I'm going to tell you about the Bible today. On the Bible got all these good things about the Lord and everything. And then I'm going to speak in tongues. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. So, you know, and then you writhe about on the floor and drink some strychnine and, you know, and then find out which of your sisters, anyway. No, we were going, no, bad things never happen to religion and Mormonism is awesome, so.
Love those underpants.
Gosh. I forget the symbols that were on the underpants. It's been so long. and of course, when he goes to Farmer Vincent's house, Ivan is looking at the same pornography that Bruce was doing, and he takes it from her like, what the hell is wrong?
I totally missed that. Oh, that's so good. I totally missed that part. Dang it.
I think Miss Ballbricker has a little tendencies to be a real gym teacher, so.
So good.
What do you mean you had a gym teacher that wasn't a lesbian? What are you talking about? How do you know she was a gym teacher?
That's funny.
Gosh. So, of course, after talking and trashing his brother Vincent, Vincent comes in with a shotgun and totally kicks his ass and scares him away because he is going to get that fine, fine, fine woman no matter what, of course. So.
I do love that part, though, because like you mentioned earlier, he busts in there before Vincent shows up to try and convince her, like, oh, you want to marry him and it's not against your will? What's wrong with you? Like, I'm hot and young. And he's like, and my dick works. My brother's got syphilis brain and his picker don't work.
Syphilis brain. So.
Like, that's a hell of an insult for a brother to be like, don't marry my brother. He's got syphilis and his brain doesn't, or I'm sorry, he's got syphilis and his picker doesn't work. Marry me instead.
We are going really late on this, and my brother's going to chop it up into two anyway.
Okay.
But the next, by the way, I tried to think one up for you, whether you did or not. And I was thinking, I'm going to run this by you, and you can take it for whatever you want, because this is your thing, which you know you really should take by the reins. But I can offer my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
The psychedelic secret garden. Death drink, which I think should be a shot of tequila, a shot of vodka, a shot of Everclear, and a shot of Fireball mixed with Code Red Mountain Dew for blood, and maybe ice. So that's my psychedelic swirl mix Motel Hell drink, whichever way you want to word it. And I know I might be a little strong with the Everclear, but
Send that over to my inbox, and I'll see if I can come up with something to go with that name. I like that.
There was no way I could prep it for today, but if you want to make that for the drink for this week, whatever you want to name it and mix it.
Sure.
I'd love the drink idea, and even though I'm drinking cheap beer while we do this. So.
No, that's fine. Send it to my Messenger inbox, and I can see what I can come up with, because I like that.
Between those words, you know, psychedelic death drink, secret garden, Motel Hell drink, whatever you want to throw together.
I like that.
You can make it rhyme so it doesn't sound like the creatures who became mixed up zombies and whatever, you know, which is a bad movie on MST3.
No, yeah, I'm totally about this. Yeah, send that over to me. I think I can work on it.
Put the female touch on it. Don't make it sound like an idiot like me. Just put it all together. You put it mixing, and then I'll be just drinking it. So
I'm an Ida in the streets, and a hot little thing in the sheets.
Okay, to keep this moving, they decide to drug Terry so that Vince and Ida can go out and do their next harvest, which would be harvesting the band Ivan the Terrible. Oh, I should use that burp and make it. Which, by the way, the sounds that these people with their vocal cords being cut out is just so horribly frightening in itself. With the one guy that tries to bite her as soon as he takes off the hood in the garden.
Yes. So.
It's funny, the victims are scarier than the actual monsters in the film. So.
Isn't that interesting? I would agree.
So. Because they had their vocal cords cut out and they're buried up to their head. So, so of course, for some reason, Ida and Vince have these psychedelic spinners to put in front of these people before using the tractor to pull their heads out and break their necks. Insert John Ratzenberger joke here. So, yeah. Oh, can you name two other John Ratzenberger movies?
I can't.
I'm going to give you a hint. They're two of the biggest movies of all time.
Okay.
And she gives up, Razzie. It's too hard for her.
I have no idea.
I'm going to give you the one big one, the biggest one. Empire Strikes Back. Before the rebels go out to fight the Empire, John Ratzenberger is one of the rebels that comes up and I think maybe even talks to Princess Leia, and I think they put a fake voice on it, on his thing. Like, I'm sorry, Princess.
No, because I am not a star. I'm not a Star Wars person. I'm sorry.
That's okay, because if you only see three movies and forget the rest of the nine, then that's okay. So
I still count. Okay. So.
Just watch the first three before, George Lucas had a neck that looked like Jabba the Hutt's and he should die. So.
Noted.
Or should I say Bib Fortuna? So.
Oh.
Bib Fortuna is the guy with the big, giant, long tentacles on his head that works for Jabba. So.
Okay, that part I know.
He's blue. Okay. So he works in Jabba's palace. He's like second to Jabba, you know, so.
Makes sense. Still hurtful. Got it.
So anyway, the second movie, which I would say is still pretty big, is Superman 2, where John Ratzenberger works at NASA and figures out, hey, we just lost the people on the moon. You know, they should be there, but they're not there. So two big fucking movies that John Ratzenberger's been in. So.
Oh, this is where I am not useful to the group. This is, and no,
then
yeah.
Then he was on a show called Cheers, which I don't think anybody watched, so. anyway, so, I was gonna put in some fish while they, in the scene when he uses the psychedelics to pull their necks to their death, so. Because that's what the kids are into, fish.
Yeah.
I hate fish. Gosh,
Me too.
It just
almost as much as I hate Dave Matthews Band for dumping their dookie on people. But
it's like Pink Floyd without any talent, you know.
I would agree with that.
It's like, can we just make shitty music where we just jam, but we don't really like practice like lyrics or?
I've broken up with people for like Fish.
I know we've been going together for a couple of years, but I found out you like Fish.
Yeah. I'm like, no, like, I want, we've been talking about starting a family, and I want my kids to be smart,
like,
so.
Like, I know we really loved each other, but I found a Fish album in your car, so we're
Yeah, I've seen your musical taste, and I just feel like you should, I don't know, date someone on your same cognitive level.
Like, oh, gosh. So, and of course, after the scene, they go religious again. Insert here, and of course, they say They talk about that great pilot in the sky and their good deeds of killing Eve, bad bands like Ivan the Terrible.
So confusing. So confusing. I'm like, what god do you worship? I'm so confused.
Hey, you know, someday everybody will have a bumper sticker that says, God is my cannibalistic pilot, you know, in the sky, so.
I'm going up to the meat farm in the sky.
Take the cannibalistic wheel, Jesus.
Oh, God, that's funny.
I'm helping save the planet from overpopulation, so. Anyway, so Bruce actually does his job as a cop and finds a caddy in a lake from the two ladies that were terrorized and are now in the secret garden. Switch to Ida and Vince prepping bodies in the slaughterhouse. And while they're doing that, who starts to escape from the secret garden? That's right, Boris the Biker. Boris the Biker is the first and starts freeing all the other poor souls that have had their throats cut. And of course they start escaping and look like a zombie horde going all slow going through the property. And of course Bruce decides to warn Terry, waking up her in her bed, of course in a towel again. And another awkward moment.
She's always got that poon out. I don't get it.
Always halfway there, Bruce, if you weren't such a cock. So
seriously.
So the next scene has Ida cleaning a dead Ratzenberger in the large vat, you know, cleaning off his arms. hey, you know, best part about eating human flesh, you know. What do you think, Norm? I don't want to hear it anymore, Cliffy. Just shut the fuck up. You had your fucking vocal cords cut out, you fuck.
I also just realized I know what movie he's been in that my age group would remember. He's the voice of the pig from Toy Story.
Oh, wow.
He's Ham! He's Ham!
Well, isn't that ironic? Because the girl thinks that's that she's hilarious. Eating ham, but it's actually human meat?
Wow. That's hilarious. He is the character Ham, which is the pig piggy bank. From Toy Story.
The circle is now complete. At first you were a learner. Now you are the master, Ashley. Thank you. Thank you. Bringing the young movies that an old man like me would never see.
Bringing that young poon, the knowledge.
So, Vince starts to chop up one of the Manson guy in the slaughterhouse. And of course, Ida is hungry and has to eat. Vince is complaining that she will eat too much of the meat and they won't have enough meat because she wants to eat. So, as he chops up an entire human being. So,
she did that intermittent fasting. She's like, I'm starving. I gotta set off my metabolism.
But you know, you think about it with jerky, it dries up so much. You really don't have that much meat. Like an entire body,
true,
only becomes like literally like a couple ounces. So,
right.
I'm kidding. That's true. Ridiculous. It's at least a pound. So,
would it be?
So of course, Bruce finds Ida hears Bruce spilling the beans to Terry and attacks Bruce, takes him out, and takes Terry with a gun and going to take her to the slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Boris has got his horde coming. And as Ida's out having a nice smoke, she comes upon the house and is attacked by the black woman. So, which she berates, of course, thinking, oh, how'd you get out? Nothing racist there, you know, the one person that escaped from the secret garden of slavery. and of course, realizes that the rest of the horde are coming down upon her and totally, you know, start to beat the shit out of her and do bad things. So, meanwhile, back at the slaughterhouse, Vincent is cutting up victims right in front of Terry. And waxing about what a job he does, and you know, and good job for the stock and everything, how he treats them well. And of course hangs torsos up on hooks. So So Terry tries to escape, and of course Vincent has to gas her and put her on a cutting board for the extremely slow cutting mechanism to kill her.
Oh my god. I have taken shits that were faster. Oh my god.
And I'm trying to think, how does this thing even cut her on the thing that goes on the conveyor?
Right.
It made no sense whatsoever. You know, what they really should have had was her on a board with the saw-like thing, like every other woman from a 20s non-talkie.
That's gonna right.
Go through and chop wood versus the, right. the fancy bandsaw, you know.
Makes no sense.
So who comes to the rescue but Bruce? Bruce comes to the slaughterhouse. and, of course, Boris, the boyfriend, falls through a skylight and fails fighting Farmer Gray. Farmer Gray. Why do I want to say Farmer Gray?
Oh.
Farmer Gray? Farmer Vincent? I don't know. I don't know where I'm from. Anyway, so Bruce comes in with a shotgun, which he opened the door with. But what happens to the shotgun? I don't know. Because while trying to save Terry... Like a wonderful, like Darth Vader coming out of the smokehouse himself, is Farmer Vincent with the pig head on and a chainsaw. So tell me, what was your
I love Field of Screams.
What was your impression of this?
I love Field of Screams. I love these fantastic, you know, I mean, like, here's the thing. I want to shit on stuff, but I obviously know there's an era. There's a budget. Like, I understand these things. But was I terrified? No. No, I was not.
And you think to yourself, he has a shotgun, you have a chainsaw. Why am I not using the shotgun? Did I only have one shot? I mean, really?
I could not put this together.
So I love reading about that this scene with the chainsaw fighting was thrown together at the last minute of the film.
Oh god.
Which I think is genius, but at the same time, you know, first he comes at him with a chainsaw, throws the pig head at him, one down. The next round, pig body at him, he's down. And then of course the worst weapon that you could possibly have is a chainsaw, because you have to start it unless you can prime it
right.
up and know it's ready to go. Like, why?
Yeah. It makes no sense.
If only you had an electric chainsaw, that baby would be ready to go like any second, you know? Even like a 19-2 Craftsman, oh gosh, that would be a good weapon. So, as long as you have enough power in your batteries. So, anyway.
True.
So, of course, they're fighting, and, of course, Officer Bruce is only hit with the chainsaw, like, 20 times before he actually tries to do any real moves, like Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, you're thinking he's got to be bleeding
exhausting.
Like a stuck pig before he finally gets a shot off on Farmer. And there's another thing.
Right?
Another thing that I really love is that Farmer Vincent does not say a word. He's just laughing with this pig head.
Which I would agree. I actually do really like that. He's not saying shit. Yeah, I actually do like that.
So finally, Bruce actually gets a couple of shots on the pig head and actually takes an ear off. And finally, I guess because he doesn't see or which way he's going, the one chainsaw goes into the pole, the supporting pole, and Farmer Vincent goes gut sideways into this chainsaw, almost going fully into his belly. And you get to see the good gut shot of guts coming out of him. And
I do like that.
So, saving Terry, of course, and almost gets a kiss at the end of the still gets
so sad. So sad. That is not nice. It's not fair.
It's almost sadder than what's his name, Boyoga, trying to kiss what's her name at the end of the Star Wars of the new series. So we'll just be friends.
Yeah, that is so sad. Like, literally, it's not even just like, oh, maybe next summer when we come back from camp. It's like, no, I'm about to die. And it's like, I changed my mind.
Yeah, you know, Finn didn't actually get to kiss Rey in Star Wars, but at least two lesbians got to kiss at the end of the Star Wars film. So
Damn, that's gold. I also am assuming that that he goes to just kind of like lean, like he just goes to lean in for the kiss, and she's like, "You forgot my lube."
Ah! My jelly.
My jelly.
My see-through apron. Oh,
damn. So I have syphilis.
So, of course, we go into the dying scene with Farmer Vincent, the revealing of Darth Vader without his pig head on. And so, as he says, "Tell your sister you were right." So, which is actually Princess Leia. So, yeah. But no, seriously, he reveals. Boy, this movie predates Return of the Jedi, you know. I mean,
that is weird.
I tell you, you know. But anyway, so he says his best kept secret is that he used no preservatives. So
I did get a good laugh out of that, and I hated myself. I laughed hard, and then I looked in the mirror, and I was like, "Why are you like this?" Like,
so the final punctuation of the film, they hear a scream, and they go running and go to the secret garden to reveal what? Tell us what.
Well,
you revealed.
No, I want you to do it because I like the way you describe these kinds of situations.
Of course, somebody has to be buried in the garden because nobody is buried there anymore. And what do they pull off? They pull off a giant potato bag, revealing Ida has been buried upside down with her legs sticking straight up. giving us our last shock of the film, her legs moving and kicking because she's still alive down there.
I love that big bitch.
You live in the desert. So, Sam Kinison.
I'm not going to take it anymore. Not going to take it anymore.
But did she really die? I think there's room for a sequel there. I think there's room.
Ooh. I kind of like that. But it would have been cooler if they dug her up and pull her out and she's got a pig head on.
And then like Saw series. So.
Oh my God. Yes, dude.
Oh, I tie every movie I possibly can together.
This is why you're the master.
I have no life, so.
Anyway,
Bruce and Terry have that nice little walk around the front of the hotel with the flashing O on the motel hello. And they talk about, "Oh, man, we're going to have investigations. We bury people instantly around here. We're just going to set it on fire with arson." So,
right.
So, and of course, the greatest ending of any movie is the neon exploding with the Motel Hello logo.
Here's what I want to know, though. If they set it on fire, did it smell like meat while it was burning? Mm. They're like, "Ooh, I could really go for some pit beef."
But I'm surprised they really didn't make a sequel to this. You know, whether or not Farmer Gray's definitely dead, but the sister definitely could have been alive, so.
Agreed.
So. Anyway, it's a lot of.
Woo!
Good thing about the all your witnesses, all their vocal cords are cut out. They have to write down their testimonies, so.
Sign language, what happened to them? Just be like lots of jelly.
All these people in a cop's room going.
I just can't wait for that weird swinger couple's like testimony to be like, "So we showed up at this hotel to have sex with strangers and we thought they were drugging us with like the fun stuff, but then they gave us the bad drugs."
And then I sang, "We got you, babe," and then they put me in the ground. So
Oh shit.
The films of Sonny Bono, from Airplane 2 to other bad movies that he was in before he died of a skiing accident. So,
so sad.
He will be missed, Congressman Bono. So,
Congressman Bono.
Oh, did you ever see the video for a fucking punk rock band from the 80s? Punk Rock Girl. It's you and me, punk rock girl. Da-da-da-da. No. It was the only video that I remember on the car they had a Sonny Bono for President sticker on. So.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. Must have sold 100 of those in the 80s. So. Anyway, anything you'd like to promote and Eric can put over the music underneath for the end of our episode?
I know I will be performing as long as nothing closes up again. I believe sometime in August I will be performing at the Art Gastro Pub in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Great name.
And then I know. And then I will also be doing a show in Hagerstown, I believe August 29th. I cannot remember the location, but I will update deets on my page at Ashley Pontius Laughs.
Okay, and I have no career, and this is the only thing I do in life is make bad music. And oh, that's not true. Midgets Are Awesome is up to 1,000 people on Facebook.
Congrats.
And by the way, at least 3 real midgets are part of the group, and I try not to call them out because they are like precious gold to me.
Yes, protect them.
But at the same time, you have people that really talk like they want to have sex with midgets all the time. And then the other midgets are like, will see posts of hot midgets and ask, are you available? It's like, no, I posted this. I don't know who the fucking hot midget was.
That's hilarious. Be like, I'm the exact opposite. Like, I don't.
Like, they can't figure out that it's me posting it, and they think that it, just because they see a picture, it must be the person in the picture that posted it. It's like, no, no. So
weird. That's cool, though. Congrats. That's awesome. I'm going to assume that Eric may or may not have shows coming up, but keep watching Laugh Finder for their game nights every week and their live streams, and the shit show is every other weekend, every Saturday.
I'm actually going to play this out with some through the rest of the show. And yeah, that's good with that level. I should have spoken at that level. Well, he can fix that. All right. Well, I think we are literally done.
Okay.
Let's do another end of the show thing, just to say. Well, I think we have to cut it early here, and we're gonna make a 2-parter. Or if you want to
Cut
it down. Ashley, anything you want to talk about for the end of the show? As if we didn't do it just a second ago.
So I am doing a bunch of shows in August, all in Hagerstown so far. But any updates to where those shows will be, anything like that, you can follow me on Instagram and on my Facebook fan page at Ashley Pontius Laughs.
And, me, everyone loves Midgets Are Awesome on Facebook. It's the one thing that gives me a social life. And I love midgets, even though they love to be called little people. But that won't happen. thanks everybody. And this has been the special reins being held over to the Crazy Brother for quality time. And we'll miss you, Ennio Morricone, for making the greatest fucking music of all time. I will be sobbing my eyes out, probably for a week, if John Williams for Star Wars music ever dies. So, because I already get verklempt just listening to John Williams music. This is that fucking awesome. Anyway, thanks, Ashley. Thanks for putting up with my technical non-prowess. And,
of course.
And God bless you. And hopefully I'll never have to hold these reins again.
Ugh, I know. The idea of Eric going on vacation ever is just awful. But no, it was so much fun to hang out with you, and we finally got to be the two of us.
Oh, we did have fun. It's just that it's so much more work.
I know. I just like pushing all my responsibilities off onto him regularly.
Actually having sex in bed versus just like jerking each other off and rubbing each other out. You know, and just lay there flat, not do anything.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to send dirty pictures.
You can sweat on each other as well.
Yes, don't want to be a Woodworth soup. I get it. No, it's so much fun. It's so nice to hang out with you, and hopefully we'll get to be in person at some point. So.
Alright, well, I have music playing with this one again, which I think makes me a little bit more fun. All right.